is a Fox News alert. Hunter Biden is in federal court in Delaware. I'm Dave Anthony, and here's what the president's son is expected to do.
Plead guilty to two misdemeanor counts of failing to pay income tax. He's also reached an agreement with prosecutors to enter a diversion program for owning a firearm while also a drug user. We don't expect him to be sentenced today, but the deal between prosecutors and Hunter's legal team makes it unlikely he's ever going to serve any jail time.
Fox's Mark Meredith. Republicans call that a sweetheart deal and want the judge overseeing the plea agreement to consider IRS whistleblower allegations of political interference in the investigation benefiting Hunter Biden. In court in London, Kevin Spacey's been acquitted. A jury found the Oscar-winning actor not guilty of 9 sex crimes stemming from accusations by 4 men. Spacey had testified. Allegations in Britain and the U.S. led to a rushed judgment, and he lost his reputation and put him mostly out of work. The head of Homeland Security is at a House hearing. Alejandro Mayorkas just testified.
Our approach to managing the borders securely and humanely, even within our fundamentally broken immigration system, is working.
Republicans, like Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, disagree.
Instead of building off the previous administration's success, this administration has abandoned any semblance of border security and immigration enforcement. And Americans are paying the price, and they demand accountability.
Some want to impeach Mayorkas. Another House hearing right now aims to get to the truth about UFOs, or as they're called these days, unidentified anomalous phenomena.
As we convene here, UAP are in our airspace, but they are grossly underreported. These sightings are not rare or isolated, they are routine. Military aircrew and commercial pilots, trained observers whose lives depend on accurate identification, are frequently witnessing these phenomena.
Ryan Graves and another military pilot, former, are testifying about those close encounters. An ex-intel officer is also at the hearing. He claims the government may have alien spacecraft and remains in secret storage. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart. Every year, more than 4 million pets enter shelters here in the United States. Many of these animals are rescued from desolate conditions. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for more than 140 years. They help ensure that pets have a safe, warm shelter during times of need, especially during natural disasters. But pets need forever homes, too. Adopting a shelter pet enriches the lives of one's family and allows shelters to help more animals awaiting care. Consider adopting today and take some time to learn more about American Humane's other work, including their efforts to rescue animals in need, certify the humane treatment of farm animals, help ensure the safety of animals on the silver screen, and protect our planet's amazing endangered species at AmericanHumane.org.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 2 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Congress will be holding a much-anticipated hearing on UFOs. Former U.S. intelligence official David Grutch will testify before the House Oversight Committee following his recent claims the government recovered technology of non-human origin. He'll be joined by former Navy pilots who have reported multiple encounters with identified aerial sites. A level 3 sex offender has been added to the list in Yuma. Police have published their name and address. This notification is not intended to increase fear. Police say an informed community is a safer community. Maricopa County Animal Shelter has been looking for foster homes for over 100 dogs. They're hoping the foster homes will be able to care for the animals until they find forever homes, or at least until temperatures dip back down into double digits. Skittles is coming out with a new flavor this summer. In honor of National Mustard Day on August 5th, mustard flavor Skittles will be making their debut. The new flavor is in collaboration with French's Yellow Mustard. Will you taste the mustard? That's the latest from the YumaDailyNews.com newsroom. I'm Kendra White.
Kale, the executive director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And of course, this is Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And we have Russ Clark with us this morning. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
It is a good morning. You were way more chipper in your last show than you come on.
Oh, well, I spent all my energy. It's over. It'll recharge.
I know it will. And of course, we have Lexi in here just in case, you know, because I like to refer to Lexi on a regular basis. She's like our moral support, emotional support dog.
She's becoming better and better at it. You know, she didn't even bark at you today.
I'm kind of
pleased about that. I mean, we've been talking about it, being her.
Okay. You've been telling her I'm nice and not to bark at me?
I've been telling her not to bark, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, this morning, we also have Lorena Villascusa from the Hospice of Yuma. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me today. It's an honor to be with you again.
I'm thinking that I brought up emotional support because you provide a lot of emotional support. I know that's what you do.
Exactly what I need. Emotional support. Oh, God, I'm a wreck.
Okay, what do you wreck about?
What's
happened? Here we are, okay, so.
Look at this, I'm always concerned all of a sudden.
I'm a hog with ears.
Now I'm kind of scared.
You've got two empathetic women in the studio we're immediately going to go, well, what's the matter?
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Psychological issues that are very deep and scarring.
Oh, dear.
We're probably going to take longer, right?
We only have an hour.
This is not a short-term deal.
So, Lorena, what exactly do you do at the Hospice of Yuma?
I am a bereavement counselor at Hospice of Yuma, and starting September 27th last year, we opened the Grief Support Center. And we've been providing emotional support to a lot of families in the community. And it actually doesn't have to be a Hospice of Yuma patient or family. It's open to anybody in the community who's experiencing grief. And we provide one-on-one grief support. We have grief support groups like the loss of a spouse and open grief support to any losses, could be loss of a parent, loss of a child. Yeah. And we started the SOS Grief Support Group in June.
What is SOS?
That is Survivors of Suicide.
Oh,
so any family member that has experienced this, we provide that support once a month. And our next one will be Wednesday, August 9th. From 2 to 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's welcome to come. If you don't feel completely comfortable with the grief setting, with the group setting, I'm sorry, you can just give us a call, Hospice of Yuma. We can schedule an appointment for one-on-one grief support, and we can provide that for you, too.
Perfect. And, you know, I mean, you already know this about me, that I had a family member commit suicide. So that's something with which I'm familiar, and so I think it's great that there's a group of people that, because in my experience, that everybody's experience is different, so I'm not going to try to say that my experience is the right way or the wrong way or whatever, but in my experience, a loss through suicide was very different than a loss of cancer or a loss of a heart attack or a loss of, it came with different emotions in addition to the grief. You look like you want to say something.
No,
but
I will eventually. But look, you mentioned grief, and grief doesn't necessarily have to be loss of life. I mean, I know that's a lot of what you deal with because that's the nature of the hospice program. But what about the grief? I mean, people that have committed suicide is because of depression, grief, whatever. It's not necessarily triggered because of that. It could be financial losses. It could be other things because it's different to different people.
Correct.
And I know you have to recognize and look at that also before people get into trouble. But what is it that people should be on the lookout and recognize in others that would be grief or something that could be something that needs to be handled so it doesn't become overwhelming and encapsulate that whole life.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you're mentioning this, Russ, because we actually, the first time that we meet with somebody, they don't know us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know more about what's going on or what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Once we assess the situation and we find out maybe there's not a grief because of a death, you know, but there's lots of health. Loss of financial, you know, they have financial problems. It's loss of dignity, loss of hope, loss of faith. When we find that out, we have an 8-week program. It is called the Grief Recovery Method Program. We're starting that September and October of this year. It's an 8-week course where the person is able to see all the lost history since they were born, actually the first memory that they had till the present.
Yeah, I've done that. I mean, I've sat down and wrote down everything that I, you know, in my memory that was a loss. That was impactful, you know, which to do that exercise, I mean, things came up that I had forgotten about, but obviously had not gotten over.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened because sometimes, well, in Mexico, there's a phrase that we use, you wash dirty clothes at home. That means you don't talk about personal things to anyone, never ever, you know. And I have found out that phrase, it's exactly what other people from other cultures do, you know. They don't want to share their thoughts, their emotions, or what happened in the past. And what we do sometimes, we don't want to deal with that anymore, and we just let it go, you know.
Because our experience, and that if we share something that's personally jarring to us, with somebody, there's a potential that that information could be used negatively and causes more pain than we already are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we learn to be more quiet. Well, we're going to have to interrupt the whole show. I got to answer this phone.
Well, and, you know, and I'm hanging back on that thing, and sometimes I know that I've been afraid to share something because I fear that somebody will use it against me, but because they will discount my feelings. They will be like, oh, you shouldn't really feel that bad about it. It wasn't that big of a deal.
I've known people to get depressed. I don't know if it's grief or sorry, depression. Turn 40, look around. My life isn't where I thought it should be, and I don't have the things I should. I don't have the skill set that I want. I don't have any way of achieving. And they put their hopes and dreams on a certain expectation. Of course, expectations and some people, expectations scare you to stop having them, you know, because if we don't fulfill them exactly that way, and it's a very narrow window for some people, then it's going to cause a tremendous amount of pain. Of course, you want to have budgets and you want to have goals, but don't, you know, you got to fall short of wrapping your existence around this has to happen for me to exist and move forward.
Absolutely. Any transition in life could cause grief, actually. Moving from one state to another, moving to another country, marriage, losing your job, actually retirement. It's a big impact to a lot of seniors, too.
So we'll all get down about that. We'll all have a little pity party and all that. But where does it become dangerous? And what would a spouse or a family member look at and say, wow, we need to get you someone to talk to?
I believe when the person is isolating, not doing the things that they used to do, you know, or when they don't find any hope on a daily basis, that's a big call for help, you know. And like I said, our grief support center is open to anybody that is willing to work on this. And we do our part, but we need the person to be in front of us to be able to talk about it and to recognize that they're depressed or they're anxious or they are really going through the grief so profoundly that they cannot do it anymore. You know, they cannot do the things that they enjoyed in the past. I want to share a story about Mr. Richard, and I say hello if he's listening to this. Mr. Richard is a gentleman who lost his wife back in August last year. And his doctor told him that he was isolating too much and he was losing a lot of weight. He was not able to really function and take care of himself after the death of her spouse for 62 years. So she suggested to him, please call Hudson Kajima. They have a grief support program. So he did.
Oh, he did.
And I was on the phone. So I say, hello, I told him who I was, what I did, how I was providing the support. And he said, there's no way I'm going to go anywhere in the community. I'm not going to participate in any support group. So I suggested, what about a visit? Can I do a home visit? And he said, Yeah, absolutely. You're more than welcome to come. So I met with him for the first time in September. And he was able to talk about his thoughts, his feelings, and I allowed for him to just say what he needed to say, you know. After that, he agreed to continue receiving this visit once a week. In October, November, we started to do it twice a month. By December, he was able to make it work through the holidays, because I know the holidays could be very tough, you know. By January and February, he felt so good that he said, I no longer need you. So he wanted to fire me. So I said, okay, I do know that you're doing better, you're eating better, you're taking care of yourself, which is wonderful, but 6 months is not enough. You know, sometimes there are triggers, there are holidays that can cause for you to go down the line again. So he said, okay, let's do it once a month. So we kept it once a month. Guess what?
He still fired you.
A month ago, he came to the first Loss of Spouse Support meeting.
Was that a big deal for him?
It was a big deal for him, but he was ready to get out of the house. He said, I need to make an effort to connect with people again, but I need people who will understand what I'm going through.
I got questions about the whole process, but...
Well, we better take a break.
Okay.
And with that, we will be right back with Teamwork Dinner on 560 KVLU.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
I'm starting to see some subtle changes in our weather pattern with an increase in the humidity, and that may lead to some rain over the weekend and early next week. And with more humidity, perhaps a little less heat. That would be a nice change of pace. 114 today, 113 tomorrow, 113 the high Friday, 112 with a slight chance of a thunderstorm Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Back with Teamwork Dinner on 560 KVLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, we have Russ Clark.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have Lorania Villasusa with Hospice of Yuma. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who is distracted with Lexi this morning. So
Lexi's being a good girl.
She is being a good girl.
She's wonderful.
I'm working her a little harder, wearing her out.
Yeah.
You know, I think that helps. Strikes the attention. Before we went to break, and I know you mentioned Richard... But that is Rizzo's name.
That's his name.
But when somebody is feeling isolated and somebody's feeling depression and they don't really see a way out because, you know, you can't fix it. You can't fix the fact that I've lost a wife. I mean, you can't fix and bring her back. And I know at some points of despair, your focus is, it's the only thing that would help me. That's exactly what I need. You can't walk in and give them that. You can't give them back the millions of dollars that they lost. It was a financial loss. You can't give them back their youth if they're 40 and haven't accomplished the things they wanted to be at 40. But what do you give them that's going to make them look like, okay, yeah, that's right, I can go on?
I will definitely call it an opportunity. When we grieve, we have an opportunity. The difference is, like you said, we don't have control of what happened, and unfortunately we cannot bring back what we go through and the person who was there for us, you know. But we definitely walk through a journey where we can recognize the new me without that person. And it will be a challenge, definitely, because we have to work hard in ourselves and be able to see the good things and the good memories that that person left in the heart.
But of course, a reason, and we need to have a connection, and we need to have, you know, a love and a connection, or a desire and a direction in order to do that and to be productive.
Right. I agree with that.
Grow or die.
I agree with that.
So
yes.
how do you push that? Because there's some people out there, and the majority I would assume, that have a preconceived notion of what happiness is, and happiness is every day getting up and seeing my wife. And without that, then it doesn't exist, because it's not even in their it's not in the value system.
Correct.
And to rework that whole thing, and mm-hmm. let them rework it, and to knock down some walls to do that, they may look at that as a betrayal of my existence.
Correct. Or to start another relationship.
Yeah, that would be a betrayal of my existence.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yes.
And those are not easy transitions.
No, they're not. And the first thing that I do is provide active listening.
You know the secret?
Active listening.
Do you know the difference between active and passive listening? Man, I know you do. But I have to explain it to people, Todd, because I teach active listening. But I tell them, when you're on the phone and you got three kids running around in there and you're fixing dinner and you're on the phone with a friend and they're going, talking about something that's going on and they're shopping, they're going, yeah. And they're like, Joey, put that away. And all that sort of stuff. And they could say something you're not even going to catch. That is not active listening. That is, you know, yeah, and we've all done that. Active listening is when your child is so sick or unconscious and you take them to the hospital and the doctor says good news. Child's going to be just fine if you follow the directions to the letter that I'm going to give you and you don't deviate in any way. That's active listening from that moment forward. That's active listening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the active listening I want to see from people on some of the things I'm working with and some of the things I'm moving forward. And if you can get that kind of active listening, that kind of involvement and engagement in listening, great things happen.
Absolutely, because the first time that I meet with someone, anything can happen. Guess what?
Yeah.
Sometimes, even doing a bereavement phone call, I provide condolences to patient's family. So sometimes they're like, oh, thank you so much, not interested, you know. Or this is not a good time, but thank you for offering. Or that will be great, I really need it. So you can have a different amount of different responses from people depending on where they're at, you know.
Yeah.
So my job is to offer the grief support, the emotional support. It's right there, you know. But it's up to the person to accept it. Or if they don't accept it the first time,
well, they won't.
I will always give them a follow-up phone call two months later.
I like you, and I would accept it the first time, because we're going to accept from somebody that we trust, that we know, and that we have a shared experience or something connection, and that's where the active listening I know comes in, and that's why you want to repeat some of it back to them.
Exactly.
In fact, sometimes it's just I hear you.
So that's my job, to connect with a person, to be able to connect.
How do you handle, because you talked about people, not right now, I'm not ready or whatever. I've seen that. I've seen people, especially with the two people that I'm thinking of in particular, it was the sudden loss of a child. And one was a soldier in Afghanistan who was killed. And the other was died in a tragic car accident.
Yeah.
And in both of those cases, I watched the parent, and they weren't ready. They were still so much in shock.
Why would you push that?
I didn't. Clearly, I would not. But how do you? Yeah, I mean, because sometimes that could be like, I know in the one instance, it was almost 6 months later. Before the mom, because I remember when she told me that her son died, I mean, it was very like nothing had happened. It was very like she was telling me, like, you know, you could see that she was in shock because she wasn't responding anything. She was still like going about her daily life, like nothing had happened.
Following denial. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I'm kind of wondering.
Oh, you know all those steps?
Yeah. So I'm kind of wondering, I mean, do you stay in touch that long? Do you, you know, because 6 months later, she became, you know, a mess.
Well, go ahead.
I
yeah.
think,
I think that when that happens, they say no, you know, like Mr. Richard, going back to him, because that was his perfect example of this. I offer the home visit. He said yes.
Okay.
Because maybe in his heart he knew I'm ready, but I don't want to push myself to get out of the house. I don't feel like that. I have everything that reminds me of first year at home. That makes me feel comfortable. And he told me that many times. You know?
Right.
So what I did was, okay, let's go to his environment.
Okay.
That might help me to create that empathy and that connection with him. You know, just talking about the pictures, talking about things that he enjoyed at the morning with his wife. And actually, it worked. It helped me, you know. So in this case, I have no idea how a mother or a father feels after losing a child.
Right.
That could be devastating. I have listened to many parents who come to our support meetings talking about it, and it's just overwhelming, you know. So I will basically offer a visit, you know. Just allow me to be there for you.
You mentioned rapport, and I'm guessing that the sooner, I mean, and that's the whole game. I mean, to build a trust, to build a connection, to build a rapport that builds trust. Because without the trust, you're not going to really get the picture.
Because
they'll never be exposed.
And they're not going to give you more information. You need that information to guide them through the grief journey. You need the information to be able to work on that and walk through that. And every process is different. There's people who are grieving for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
It's a choice. But if people can get close to them, that's accelerated. And that's just, you know, they may keep us in mind. You know, my dad passed last year, but he woke up every day sad that he woke up. I'm sure you've seen that. Where he just wasn't happy because he promised, his wife, my mother, that I die first because I can't live without you.
And the expectations.
Yeah,
we have expectations, you know. I remember a lady who came to a grief support meeting saying that she couldn't understand why her husband said that he was going to die before her. You can't say that to me. Because we don't have control of what's going to happen to us. So her grief was the death of the husband, but also you promised me, you know, that I was going to go before you. So she felt that anger towards the husband.
And I'm sure you've seen tons of stories where there's a really close couple that rely on each other, love each other, care for each other. The one spouse dies, the other one does not live much longer. You see a lot of those cases where, you know, they don't want to, and the body gives them sometimes what they ask for.
Yeah. Or the body can't handle anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And emotion and becomes it affects physical, and it just does, and it'll show itself in a physical way.
Absolutely.
And we see it all too often. You know. So be careful what you ask for.
I just ask for the opportunity to be a heart with yours in that moment, and I receive what the person is ready to talk about. Even during the support meetings, there's people who say, I don't have nothing to share. That's okay.
That's right.
You just say your name.
Yeah.
But I know that what other people are talking about and the things that are sharing about their own grief can be beneficial and can be therapeutic for them. So.
Yeah. And they don't mind sharing stuff that they don't, I'm guessing, but people don't want to share things that are personal. They don't mind sharing that, you know, it's a nice day out. But but to get down to sharing the personal is what builds rapport.
Absolutely.
Not that we agree that the weather's hot.
Exactly. Or they come to the group and then they ask for a one-on-one group support, and that's when they feel like completely comfortable to talk about more personal things.
I'll get naked in front of the whole group. I don't care.
Not physically.
That's emotional naked. As an emotional naked, you need to take a break.
Okay.
On that.
Well, on that. We'll be right back with Team Regetter on 560 KBLU.
Yuma's best locally owned Ford store wants to be your best choice this summer. Get a home run at Alexander Ford. Visit our newly remodeled showroom and explore the exciting new electric vehicles Mustang, Mach-E, and Lightning. Featuring a summer special 2.9% on Mach-E for 60 months on approved credit through Ford Credit Financing. Does not include tax, title, and licensing. Check out the awesome selection of 2023 Super Duty, F-150, Ranger Expedition, Explorer, and Bronco Sport. The 2023 Raptors and Broncos in stock. Experience the difference you can count on at Alexander Ford, 801 East 32nd Street.
At Bobby Combs RV Centers, we're red, white, and blue all year round. We believe in freedom, and nothing feels more free than the great outdoors.
The new 2022 Retro 211, stock number 3581. A fully equipped travel trailer with power tongue and stabilizer jacks, solar plug-in, high-speed roof vent, rear corner bathroom with radius shower, boot dinette, and four-burner cooktop. Just $25,500.
Today at Bobby Combs RV Centers in Yuma, 4710 East 32nd Street. Look for the red, white, and blue flags.
Super Chatter on 560 KVLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and of course we have Russ Clark, who has given us way more information about him than we, I now know that he would get naked in front of a group of people.
But just out of curiosity, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? You know what? Everybody knows my title, but I'm guessing there's not a lot of people that actually know what I do for a living. But speaking of which, I at least better do announcements for the chamber.
Don't get befuddled. Just go ahead and get it done.
Okay, I'll get it done. So tonight's member mixer, unfortunately, for everyone who hasn't registered so far, or was planning on just showing up, is sold out. It is sold out, and we have been very fortunate at the Chamber that the last number of our events, State of the State, the last Good Morning Yuma, and the last Member Mixer now have all oversold. In fact, tonight's Member Mixer is oversold by quite a few.
I'm not going there.
It's going to be a crowded place. But so we are very grateful for that. So I highly recommend that if you want to come to a Chamber event that you pre-register, because lately it does seem like we are running out of space quickly. So our next member mixer, just so everybody knows, is August 23rd. It is at AEA Federal Credit Union. Fortunately, they have a lot of space, so it'll take a lot of people to get to that oversold. But to give you an idea, today's mixer, last I looked, we're at about 170, not counting the company's invitees. So we are getting to the point where our member mixers are a couple hundred people. So just keep that in mind, that we do the biggest spaces we can, but there's a lot of people there, a lot of networking that happens. So please be sure to pre-register again, August 23rd at AEA Federal Credit Union. Then in September, we have our next Good Morning Yuma. That is going to be on Thursday, September 14th. Carol Brown is going to be doing a presentation on dementia and Alzheimer's and how to deal with that if it's impacting your family, and talking about some of the research that's being done, because, of course, coming up soon will be the Walk to End Alzheimer's. So that, you know, I don't know anybody that hasn't been impacted by that. And then our mixer after that is on September 27th. So please check out our calendar of events. We now have a couple of ways to check out our calendar, because we have started including community events on our calendar. I know that Lorania has been, or somebody from Hospice Yuma has been putting the grief support groups they have on there. But we now have featured events. You can go, we've made it super easy to find our calendar, localyuma.com. That's it, localyuma.com. Go there. The homepage has some featured events, but there's a button right at the top of the homepage that says go to our full calendar, and you can actually go view our full online calendar. And today, we're actually supposed to be getting a printed edition coming in. We are doing them quarterly so that those who are not as comfortable looking at things online have a way to view a lot of the events that are coming up, too. So
We'll be distributing the printed edition later this week or early next week because I'm excited to see them today. So with that, we better get back to the show. And Lorena Villasuza is here from Houses of Yuma. And like I said, and so I if they're not there already, I am sure that your upcoming support groups will be on our calendar. They might be there already. I haven't.
Absolutely can. Sounds like you're very busy, lady.
As I said, I'm sure that a lot of people know what my job title is, but I'm not sure they know what I do, but that's okay. I keep busy. It keeps me out of trouble.
That's good.
It also probably prevents grief.
Absolutely. Keep your mind busy.
Exactly. Oh, and you know what? And I'm looking at that. Do you ever, so she's in here and she's petting Lexi, who is so much fun to come visit.
Yeah, my comfort dog.
Yeah, and she's much better behaved than Russ is, so there is that, too.
She's had training.
Yeah, she has. So do you ever use animals? Because I would think that, I know that for me personally, if I'm upset about something, you know, my pets are a huge source of comfort for me. And they're a heart with ears, too. They just can't guide me through any process. But... They're great at listening.
Absolutely. And they're great support. Like Mr. Richard, he has a dog.
Okay.
And I love to visit because I get to visit both of them.
Okay.
And yes, they're actually people who have came to a good support center because of loss of a pet.
Mm-hmm. That's very hard.
Yes. We don't have a specific group for that, but we have an open group support meeting, you know. And we know that a dog, a cat, birds, they can be that family member that people need in their life. And all of a sudden, if they die, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they going to share about what's going on? I met with a gentleman. He's a veteran. He's in a assisted living facility. I met with him 2 weeks ago. And he had a cat. He lost his wife 10 years ago, but he had a cat. And because of COVID, he had to go to the hospital, and he lost his cat. So another gentleman who was his neighbor in the same facility, he died. But he had his cat. So the cat and this gentleman that I'm meeting are a family member.
Okay.
Because the cat lost his adult, so he's human,
right.
And this gentleman lost his cat. So guess what? Now they're living together.
Aww.
That was amazing.
I love that.
I loved it, too.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, when we first meet with somebody, we don't know where they're at and what are the battles and the challenges they're going through. So when he told me that story, I just wanted to be a heart with ears for 2 hours. So, yeah, loss of a pet could be very devastating to somebody.
And I've been there. So not everybody, some people know this, but in the middle of, so keep in mind, I didn't live in Yuma when I took the job as executive director of the chamber. And so I was uprooting my family from the Phoenix area. With my 16-year-old son and my husband, we're selling our house. We had to find a place to live in Yuma. My first month at the chamber, I lived in a hotel. It was a lovely hotel, don't get me wrong. It was at the Comfort Inn and Suites, Candlewood Inn and Suites, sorry. And they did an amazing job, you know, making me feel at home, and I at least had a small kitchen and everything, but it wasn't home. My pets were still back in Phoenix. We had all of these things going on, trying to get my son adjusting, sell our house, find a new house, living out of a hotel. Literally, I was driving back and forth to Phoenix. I'd come to Yuma on Monday, go back to Phoenix on Friday. Very stressful time in our lives. And in the middle of that, our baby, our youngest dog, she was 5 at the time, had a gallbladder attack. And we were driving her back and forth between Yuma and Phoenix to vet appointments. She had her gallbladder removed here in Yuma, but her gallbladder was so diseased at birth, and she ended up needing to be hospitalized, and she ended up becoming essentially septic, which people understand, We ended up rushing her in the middle of the night, one night from Yuma to Phoenix, where they had 24-hour care, and she died anyway. And so in the middle of all of these things, and it made me second guess. I mean, was this really the right decision for my family? You know, we had so many things going on, and my son is trying to do his engineering. He was concurrently enrolled in high school and college. He was taking an engineering course at ASU that semester, and here he's trying to do his engineering experiments in a hotel room, and then the dog dies, and we're just like, I will admit it was, and so I get it, because the vet called me when I was actually out to lunch meeting with a member, to let me know that she was, we basically needed to put her down. She was seizing 24 hours and so I feel for people who lose their pets, because it was at that moment that I was just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, and it made me start second guessing everything. I mean, it made not just grieving my dog, but, you know, through the grief process, making me second guess, you know, if we hadn't been moving, would we have been able to get her to the vet more quickly? If we hadn't been moving, would this have happened? You know, if we hadn't been moving, would my son have better been able to deal with the loss of this dog? You know, if we hadn't, you know, and you suddenly start to think about all of these things. And so the loss of a pet is, I mean, there is something that's part of your daily life, unlike somebody that you, another perfect example of that is when my great-grandmother passed away. My great-grandmother and my pet ferret died on the same day. And the vet called and left me a message. My ferret had been hospitalized, and the vet called me and left me a message and asked me to call. My little sister called and said, hey, wanted to let you know Grandma Mac passed away. Just like that.
Just like that. I mean, not quite just like that.
I like that.
And so you like that? And so think about the difference in those two phone calls. My great-grandmother has passed away, and somebody left me a message of that. But the vet understood that he could not leave me a message that my ferret had passed, that he needed to ask him to call in and tell me in person. So that's a huge story. I just took over the whole show.
Well,
but I hadn't even thought about pets. I think hospice, I think people.
As human beings, we deal with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know one person that hasn't experienced it.
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't think so.
In their life.
Over something.
We all do.
Yeah.
We all do. I did have a German Shepherd.
Did you? Okay.
Yes. To die when I was 18, starting college.
Oh, and, another tough time.
And that was my first breakup.
Aww.
So,
yeah. But that's a tough time, too. 18, all that transition that you have going on, which is so stressful in and of itself.
I remember it was a time of, okay, I go to college, I'm going to concentrate on my studies and making new friends, meeting new teachers and everything, because I didn't want to know anything about dogs and cats or even boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
I was grieving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. How successful was that first semester?
Wonderful.
Oh, good. Okay,
I had
good.
Great.
So good.
I focused on that.
Okay.
No,
good
but I
you.
Never thought
right.
that I was grieving
right.
until years later.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm not sure. Is that a common thing? People don't realize that that's...
We're not aware.
That we're not aware that it has...
It's defense mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're very quiet again.
Oh, I was...
So even your just tone of voice, talking about people grieving,
I haven't slept in 3 days.
Okay, why haven't you slept in 3 days?
My babysit. my daughter is now working in Texas Roadhouse.
I knew that. I saw that.
So she gets off around 11 o'clock at night.
Okay.
I've been helping out.
Yeah.
And so I get up at 3, but I don't really get home until about midnight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I have good drugs, you know.
Well,
Speaking of not good drugs per se, but do people, can you guys provide prescriptions and things like that, or do you need a licensed psychiatrist on staff?
No,
they
don't.
They can help out with that if they...
It's a psychologist. Not a counselor.
Yeah. Yes, no,
well,
we don't.
Well, I knew she was, but I was like, I didn't know if the hospice had people on staff, because they've got a lot of medical people on staff.
Yeah, we have a medical doctor and nurse, but they're specifically to provide the compassion care for the families in the hospice. We don't have a psychiatrist. Our services is just to provide emotional support for the community. If we find out that somebody needs more than what we offer, then we can refer them.
Okay.
Or we provide resources in the community for them to follow up with that. Yeah, because they might be so depressed or so anxious that they cannot control it.
It's hard
for them to even focus during our first session. So, We talked about it, and we tried to be...
A regular medical doctor can take care of some of that stuff, too. When it's a big case like that, of loss or something, a regular medical doctor, you don't have to find a psychologist for some of that.
The majority of our seniors in the community here in Yuma, they have their physician. So sometimes we just ask for them to talk to their physician about it, and according to what the medical doctor recommends, then they can follow up with that.
It's more of a, I was bringing it up because I want people, it's okay. We all need help sometimes, and it's okay.
I really don't.
Okay, well,
you need to go
we only have one more segment left for us. And so we will be right back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
For over a decade, SimpliSafe has revolutionized home security, and our latest advancement is here, 24/7 LiveGuard protection, only from SimpliSafe. Now, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response. Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/radio. Advanced home security, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and of course we have Russ Clark.
Just happy to be here.
Just happy to be here. Not grieving?
Oh, no.
Good. Okay. Like, are you in denial?
Oh, no, I'm bargaining.
Oh, you're okay. Yeah. Perfect. Okay.
I like that. Bargaining.
He's moved on to another step of grief. Got it. Okay. Well, and this, we have Lorenia Villasuza with the Hospice of Yuma.
Lorena knows all steps.
Thank
you. Being a drinker, I can't trip her up, you know.
I know. But
like she's studying.
You know, before the break, I was touched base a little bit because, I mean, I'm, you know, is there still a stigma? I mean, are you still seeing the stigma of people? Because I'm
stigma,
of asking for help.
Of course.
Absolutely, yes.
And
people haven't got changed. I mean,
you're right. And because I always talk to people about, I guess maybe, you know, I had a family member commit suicide when I was relatively young. I was a teenager. So I've lived with that a very long time and you know, come to my own peace with it. Not always. I can't say, you know, I'm not grieving anymore. Clearly, I can talk about her. I can mention it right here in very casual conversation at this point because I've had a lot of years to come to terms with it. That doesn't mean that when I go home and I go to the cemetery and I visit her grave that I don't grieve all over again temporarily, you know, but that being said, people ask me how I deal with it, and I say, because my way of dealing with it, she had a terminal illness. It was just mental instead of physical. It's her mental illness that killed her, not herself. And so I guess because I've had that all along, I try to advocate as best I can that I don't look at mental illness as different than physical illness. If you have diabetes or high blood pressure or a heart condition, you don't think anything of going to the doctor, taking a prescription, doing whatever you need to get healthy again. And I really wish that we could continue to move further in letting people know that if they're having a mental illness, or even just a temporary, something like grief that is temporary, not a mental illness, but it is a state of mind, that it is okay to seek help. It is okay to seek somebody like Lorenia, or it is okay to even temporarily or permanently, if you need it, to take an antidepressant or to take the medication that's going to help you just as you would.
So how long have you been on that antidepressant?
That's a personal question.
I'm so glad that you.
I'm like, mine is not depression. Mine is anxiety.
And I'm so glad that you're mentioning this, Kim, because you're talking it like it is. You know, this is what happened to me. Mm-hmm. I know that many, many people might be going through that, mm-hmm. and they are going bananas. They don't know what to do. Two things that I always like to find out when I meet with someone seeking for free support is coping skills. What are the things that are helping you to deal with this naturally, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that you enjoy the most during the day?
Mostly drinking. A vodka, I think.
That will be a serve.
That's a self-medication.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes. A serve is a short-term energy reliever behavior. Mm. It will help you temporarily, but eventually, if you keep doing it, it will hurt you.
Oh, my God.
And yes, and a lot of people don't realize that during grieving, they want to go to the casino. They want to just go shopping all day. And
oh, my God.
There are many, many serves,
mm-hmm.
and we don't realize we're doing it because of all the emotional mm-hmm. outbursts that we have. So coping skills. What are the things that are helping you?
Is it a coping skill or is it a distraction? I mean, is it a substitution? Is it a distraction? Or is it medication?
I prefer to offer activities of daily living that will help you. Mm-hmm. Listening to music, reading a book, going to the library, offering to be a volunteer.
It's coping, but it's not facing the problem yet.
Correct.
But it's going to get you to that point. Is that good what you're saying?
Exactly. When the person doesn't have coping skills,
right,
and they're going just down, that's when we just talk, and let them know, this is what I'm perceiving.
So if you were telling...
You confront the person.
You gave me a list of coping activities. Is there something you would recommend? I mean, do you ever say, go do, what would you recommend, or... I mean, you can't do it for everybody. I mean, everyone's a little different, but...
Correct.
If somebody's physically active, you're going to talk to them about what? What would you just suggest?
Well, I want to give you an example. There was a mother who lost his parent, but she and her mother was very close to her. So she was devastated, and she took care of her mother for many, many months. So what I suggested was, what about getting out of town? What about going to... somewhere out of Yuma? Would that help you to disconnect from all that others that you have? And she said, I think so. And I have family in Phoenix or San Diego. What about you call your family in San Diego and just get out of Yuma for a couple of days? And she said, I think that would be wonderful.
Of course,
she was not able to see it or think about it, mm-hmm.
And I was curious because that puts them in connection with other people. And I think other people, because we're gregarious and we need to be around other people. And if we start doing activities that are lonesome,
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Like going out in the woods and living in a cabin mm-hmm. alone,
Oh, yeah.
We become,
a trigger. yes.
Mail bombers or something, it's something terrible.
A lot of people from our community, they love to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
It's a great community.
They do.
And I'm grateful for it.
Me too.
But that puts you in contact. with people. There's a mission or something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's coping skills, right? But you think that's a pathway to acceptance, living, and then you can sit down and talk once there's a balance.
And to deal with grief in a natural way.
What do you mean natural?
Well,
you mean other than medication?
Yes. So sometimes people, they feel like, okay, I'm depressed because of my grief, then I need to go to medications right away. Wait a minute.
I was not suggesting that.
let's talk about it, you know. Do you really think that a pill will take away all the years of love that you have for your loved one?
Oh.
And when you make that question, then they realize to... You know what? I never thought about
right.
it. You know, at least you are helping them to rethink what's going on in their brains and in their
hearts. We're
in
America, though. We love pills, and that's true. And, and on the planet, we consume probably more than half the drugs for the entire planet, unfortunately. But it's a very quick fix that is not a fix at all.
Mm-hmm. And some people think that grief is going to be like that. You know?
Yeah.
This is going to be fixed with a magic wand. We don't have a magic wand. I might look like a princess, but I don't have a magic wand.
Well, and I get, you know, as a, you know, in special ed, you know, because I had a lot of students with behavioral and emotional disorders, we referred to them as coping mechanisms. We have to find you socially acceptable coping mechanisms.
Yes, and to find a support system that is
mm-hmm.
being supported,
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
you feel comfortable enough, safe enough, to be able to deal with it in a better way. Sometimes people grieve because they don't have good coping skills and they don't have a good support system, so they isolate.
So
naturally.
Lorenia, I know that we're going to run short on time here. These sessions, they go very quick, don't they?
I know.
So before we go, let us know again, how can they join these support groups? When do you have them coming up? Where can they find more information about what you do at the Hospice of Yuma?
Absolutely, Kim. Well, we're located, Hospice of Yuma is located at 1824 South 8th Avenue. And our phone number is 928-343-2222. And there's the grief support center right there, right next to our Hospice of Yuma office. We have our next Loss of a Spouse grief support meeting Tuesday, August 1st from 10:30 to 11:30. And then we have an open grief support meeting on Wednesday, August 2nd from 2 to 3 p.m. Anybody is welcome to join us. We also have other different grief support meetings, English and Spanish. You can give us a call and I can provide more details about it. And if you need one-on-one grief support, please just give us a call. You can ask for me, Lorena Villascusa, or Emilia Munoz. We are both the bereavement counselors at Hospice of Yuma.
And they don't need to have been a patient at Hospice of Yuma, right?
No. You don't have to be a patient at Hospice of Yuma to receive the grief support.
Because I think I didn't realize that the first time we spoke, and I want to be sure that people know that if they need you, they can reach out to you regardless of whether or not they've had someone that was a patient or is a patient at Hospice of Yuma.
Absolutely. And the only thing is we don't work with minors. We work with adults, and we help parents to help kids dealing with their grief. But we don't provide the one-on-one, or we don't have groups for children or teenagers. It's just for adults in the community.
That might happen.
Okay, well, with that, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you, everyone else, for listening. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon... liable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.